I'm Lauren Berry, and this is On Deadline, where we bring you a top story from Odyssey's newsrooms across the country. This week, we're discussing former President Joe Biden, who's been in the news for several reasons. First up, he has cancer, an aggressive form that has spread to his bones. Thoughts and prayers poured out from around the world for the ailing 82-year-old when the news broke. But also, many are wondering about the timing of the announcement. It came as concerns were raised again about Biden's mental fitness and the efforts by his former administration and the media to conceal his declining cognitive abilities during the 2020 campaign and during his presidency. An upcoming book by Jake Tapper and Alex Thompson provides insider details on the Biden administration's alleged attempts to hide the president's deteriorating condition from the public and even his own cabinet. And it's also raised questions about the responsibility of Biden's inner circle and the Democratic Party for prioritizing their own interests over the country's well-being. Did they allow an unfit president to remain in office? Along with the book came the release of audio from then-President Biden's interviews in October 2023 with former special counsel Robert Hur in the now-closed probe over Biden's handling of classified documents. Those raised even more questions as Biden appeared to struggle with his memory on key information, including when his son died and when current President Donald Trump was first elected back in 2016. For more analysis, here's Chad Hartman at WCCO Radio in Minneapolis.
Already had multiple books come out and tell us the obvious. That an individual who wanted to be president pretty much his entire life, pursued it in 87 for the 88 election, was having success, and guess what? Plagiarism. Pursued it for sure 2008. Well, didn't he do it in 2000 also, I think? 2008, complete non-factor. With Barack Obama emerging over the heavily favored Hillary Clinton. Clearly wanted to do it in 2016. He's the vice president of, at the time, a reasonably popular president. And Barack Obama says, it's Hillary Clinton's time. Finally wins, aided greatly by the pandemic. I believe 99% of the pandemic doesn't happen. Donald Trump wins that election. And when he finally gets it, the painful aging process is on display. And you can determine when it really kicked in. If we would have had a traditional, there's your first cough of the show. First cough of the day, too, right when I get in here. You can wonder if we would have had a more traditional campaign in 2020 where he's traveling city to city, what that would have exposed. Because he paid attention to guidelines, COVID guidelines, and we can debate some of those COVID guidelines right now, whereas the President of the United States, he was telling us it was magically was going to disappear, disinfectant, light. So by the time he was on the campaign trail, he was just doing whatever he wanted. And then, my God, the young man almost died when he had COVID. But then at some point, it became clear that he's not the same person. And this show called it very early. This show had the first Democrat member of Congress, anywhere, acknowledge that Joe Biden shouldn't run. That's Dean Phillips. Dean Phillips, by the way, in studio with us Friday, 2 o'clock hour. And now we have a lot of information coming out. We've already had good books before. But Alex Thompson is a very well-respected reporter. And Jake Tapper is very well-known and a damn good journalist from CNN. And their book is about to come out Tuesday. I am going to ask Major to see if he could help us get Tapper on and see if we can get him. Be good. Or you know what? Alex Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. Either one. So here is Jake Tapper answering a question this morning when he's on his own network about Joe Biden and the word that is true, the amount of lying that was taking place covering up for Joe Biden.
You have an entire White House press corps, though, following him around. And I'm just curious as to whether or not this kind of trying to hide what was happening with the president at the time had an impact on the press corps. Like, why didn't we hear some of these details from what they actually saw and were dealing with trying to get information?
Well, Alex Thompson and I were on the case, as were lots of other reporters, trying to figure out what was going on behind the scenes. But the bottom line is the White House was lying, not only to the press, not only to the public, but they were lying to members of their own cabinet. They were lying to White House staffers. They were lying to Democratic members of Congress, to donors, about how bad things had gotten. And in fact, Alex and I started writing this book after the election of 2024. And we spoke with more than 200 people, most of whom, almost all of whom, were Democrats, and almost all of whom wouldn't be honest with us or wouldn't be candid with us until after the election. And then after the election, we found out all of these things that, when you looked at what was going on with President Biden at the time, it probably doesn't surprise you the extent to which he was deteriorating. But now we have anecdotes and facts about what was really going on behind the scenes with details that Democrats wouldn't share with us until after Election Day.
They were lying. They were just lying. Now, on background or off the record, they tell the truth. Now, I don't want to hear that the entire media was lying or all Democrats were lying, because that's too much of a generalizing. But a high percentage of Democrats were absolutely sticking their head in the sand, looking the other way, or looking you right in the eye and lying about Joe Biden.
Dean Phillips, who you mentioned just a few minutes ago, told us the exact same thing. He would speak with fellow congressmen, congresswomen, Democrats, who would say to him,
Senators too?
Yes, personally, this guy's, it's too late. You know, Joe Biden can't do this job anymore. But he would beg them to say it publicly, beg them to run. And No.
Dean has way, way, way more context than me. But I can tell you multiple Democrats in this state who would talk to me in background, who would say absolutely, and then would say different things publicly. Were there media members who didn't tell the truth? Hell yeah. There were. And Major's been eloquent on the difficulty of this, especially for more of a traditional journalist. It's a lot easier for the opinion makers to offer that. And this was just ideology over country. This was, I'm so frightened by Donald Trump that I'm going to lie about Joe Biden. And there's plenty of responsibility on Joe himself, but there's more on Jill Biden and others because he just wasn't aware. Story today coming out of the book that George Clooney is hosting this enormous fundraiser. Not George Johnson from Dubuque, Iowa. George Bleepin' Clooney, who's known Biden for a long time, and then he's George Clooney. And they're going to the fundraiser in L.A. to raise ungodly sums of money with Obama there, Clooney there, Julia Roberts there. Joe Biden doesn't even recognize George Clooney. There's talk in the book of he was falling so much that get past the election, and maybe it's time for a wheelchair. The question is, it's now May 13th, and we're well into news where every single day Donald Trump offers up 5 to 10 items where either you love them, you hate them, you're elated by them, you're blown away by them. And more of our time absolutely should be on what's going on now and what's going on in the future. But when you continue to find out that we had a president of this country, who knows, maybe the entire time wasn't capable of the most important job on the planet, I still care a lot. And I think names should be identified who put our country, I don't want to say completely in jeopardy, but in the neighborhood. Dave, if there's a crisis that would happen, there's a 9/11. Joe Biden, would he have been capable of that? Or would it just be up to the vice president? Would it be up to the generals? Would it be up to the cabinet? Did this play a part in other parts of the administration, which wasn't as strong? They were hiding him forever. I think it does matter. I still care. Do you still care?
I do care because it shows everybody who was involved in hiding it, starting with, you know, chief of staff. Go on down. You know, Tapper said they lied to the cabinet. Well, no. No, no, they may have lied to the cabinet, but the cabinet could see it with
their
own eyes, too.
Saw it. Now, there's some reporting, too, suggesting they were hiding them from the cabinet, too.
Well,
but when the cabinet was around, you're exactly right.
They had to have known. It's impossible not to have known. And I go down the list. I think you have a group of people that showed where their priorities lie. And, you know.
Themselves.
Yes, themselves.
And
their
the party.
Their ideology. Whatever it is, all of it. Above what should be the most important thing in that job, America.
Competency, the ability to do the job. And by the way, come out like Dean Phillips did midway through 2022 and say, he can't do it. Thank you. By the way, if he can't run, he can't be president. It's both. At that point, if you're saying it that far ahead, allow Harris to run, allow Wes Moore to run, or Josh Shapiro, or Bernie Sanders, Dave Harrigan, whoever. They have a better chance. If they beat Trump, who knows what direction the country. And they had to separate themselves from Biden, whether you think his policies were undervalued or they were awful. The polling was incredibly negative on immigration and the economy, and that's how Donald Trump won all seven swing states. And Harris wouldn't separate. And Harris is just not a good campaigner. She's just not. And Barack Obama knew that. Barack Obama didn't want to anoint Kamala Harris. Come on. What does that tell me?
Along with the announcement about Biden's cancer came conspiracy theories, some of which were doubled down on by President Donald Trump and his family. Trump Jr. put a question on the social media platform X. Here's what it said. What I want to know is, how did Dr. Jill Biden miss stage 5 metastatic cancer, or is this yet another cover-up? It's worth noting here that Dr. Jill Biden holds a doctorate degree in education as a longtime teacher. She's not a medical doctor. Still, the Bidens have said that they have full faith in the presidential doctors. Biden's last physical while serving as president occurred in February 2024, when the doctor's report declared he was a healthy, active, robust, 81-year-old male. Stephen Portnoy, national CBS correspondent, joined Odyssey in the Bay Area to discuss more about Trump's reaction to Biden's diagnosis.
Stephen, President Trump addressed former President Biden's cancer diagnosis. And since former President Biden made that announcement, a lot of conspiracy theories coming out of the woodwork here. How is this all playing out?
Well, look, you have President Trump yesterday, after saying on social media first that he extends his warmest wishes to Jill and Joe Biden, wishing him a fast and successful recovery. By late yesterday, the president was talking in the Oval Office about the idea that the public wasn't notified a long time ago. He sort of conflated the reported diagnosis of, President Biden having a prostate cancer with a Gleason score of 9 to being stage 9 cancer. Of course, there isn't such a thing. It's stage 4 cancer. But Trump said that it would take a long time to get to that point. Doctors indicate that it's possible that this cancer had been growing for many years, but also possible that it came up quickly. There's a question about the PSA score and why Biden's most recent physicals didn't report a PSA score. And one answer that medical experts give is that men of Biden's age are advised not to have the PSA test because it can result in false positives and invasive biopsies that are unnecessary. Point is, President Trump yesterday was elevating those conspiracy theories.
While there is no such thing as stage 9 prostate cancer, now is a good time to learn more about the disease affecting former President Biden. Joining Bob Rose here is Dr. John Little. They go through information about prostate cancer, including screening guidelines, risk factors, and treatment options, particularly in relation to Biden's recent diagnosis.
Great topic, and honestly, one we all need to think about. And yeah, sure, President Biden has the prostate cancer, but you have to remember, how old is he now? 80 years old, I'm thinking?
82.
So the newsflash is that we doctors have been advised for many years now to no longer screen for really much any cancer after the age of 75. You may have heard that. That's pretty much the way that we do things. So now you could ask the question, why? And it comes down to sort of like a cost-benefit analysis that they've done, right? So, someone gets to be 75. You might have heard the thing, if you're diagnosed with prostate cancer, you're going to die with it, not from it. Okay, that because prostate cancer is typically a very slow-growing cancer. But that said, this is in addition to that, you might be seeing some changes in those guidelines because people are living a lot longer. You got a lot of vigorous people in their 80s, just go down to the villages, right? A lot of people listening to your show who are very active in their 80s. They may say, listen, I want to know that I have something because I might want to do something about it. Go ahead. Yeah,
we've got rock stars that are actually touring in their 80s, many of them. And people are much more active. 80 is not what it used to be. And you've also, medicine has done a better job of treating these things as well, correct?
Yeah, you're right. Did I lose you for a second there?
No, you're on.
So here's the deal. So you have the age criteria, and then you have this other phenomenon that has emerged here lately of these turbo cancers. I'm sure you guys, I might have talked to you about it already with the COVID shots, right? We have been seeing people coming into my office with metastatic cancers as the first presentation of the cancer. I mean, young people, I have a 36-year-old with metastatic colon cancer, a 49-year-old deputy with metastatic colon cancer. I have people that are showing up in unusual ways with these very aggressive cancers, and the health cancer industry as it is, the oncologists are scratching their heads. Why are these people showing up? So I've just put it in perspective. I had a patient just like Joe Biden about even just 10 years ago that had a normal PSA for several years, had enlarged prostate symptoms, which can cause your PSA to go up, by the way. So newsflash there, an elevated prostate-specific antigen, that's the blood test we're talking about here. Normal is under 4. You can get values that are over 4 and even up as high as 10 just because you have an enlarged prostate. And of course, we all know those symptoms, getting up at night to urinate and all that sort of thing. But so this gentleman had the enlarged prostate and everything was fine, and then all of a sudden, 2 years later, it was metastatic cancer to the bone, prostate cancer. No one could understand why that happened. So I'm presuming that somewhat of what has happened with Joe Biden. I do want to throw out a little bit about, so you're going to have the guys listening and wives and children of folks who wondering if they should go out and get screened for prostate cancer. That's probably the biggest take-home message that we need to talk about, I think. And so here's where we're at. Prostate cancer is a real deal. And it should not be something that you don't screen for. 20 years ago, and I've been doing this for 35 years, so I've seen everything from when PSAs first were came out that we could, we have a blood test to screen for prostate cancer. And everybody and everyone was getting screened every year. And then about 20 years ago, the academies, all the people up, tell us what to do, said stop screening for prostate cancer because you're getting unnecessary biopsies. And a prostate biopsy is not always an easy thing, and people can end up in the hospital if it's not done correctly. Okay, it's a hard place to biopsy, but it is done. But I'm just saying, they said stop doing it. Well, what happened then? People stopped getting their PSA screenings done, and now you talk to like the expert in the world who's down in Celebration in Kissimmee, Dr. Vip Patel. He's like, oh my goodness, all of a sudden now the people I'm seeing have got advanced prostate cancers. They're already far along, I can't even take the prostate out. So routine PSA screening, I believe, should start to come back at least when you get to the age of 50, get a PSA and find out if it's really low or if it's borderline or if it's high. And then you can make an informed decision as to whether to continue doing the PSA screening.
Yeah, at least you have a benchmark at that point that you can see if there are changes ongoing. So let me ask you this. You could have enlargement of the prostate, and it could be possibly cancerous or not necessarily at all.
Exactly, yeah. So enlarged prostate, BPH itself, a benign prostate hypertrophy, which is an enlarged prostate, doesn't really increase the risk of it becoming cancer. So that's kind of a misunderstanding there. But really, what is important to so prostate cancer is a silent disease. All right, you can have it; it could be metastatic to your bones, and you have no idea. Now, that's not to scare people; it's just a reality. I've had my PSA checked when I was 50, and it was low. And I hope you guys have had it as well. If it's normal, you're in pretty good shape. I want to say this. This is very important. The people who are more at risk of prostate cancer also typically have a family history of other cancers, all right? This is like so important. So if you have a family history in your mother or father, breast cancer, ovarian cancer, melanoma, those three cancers are so highly related to prostate cancer. I mean, I've had men in my practice with prostate cancer and melanoma commonly. Their mothers had breast cancer or ovarian cancer, et cetera, et cetera. Those four cancers, breast, ovarian, melanoma, interestingly enough, skin cancer and prostate cancer are genetically linked in families very commonly. So I'll have kids come in, parents have had, I've diagnosed the dad with prostate cancer, the mom's had breast cancer. I look at those kids, I say, you get your PSA screening earlier, maybe at 45, and of course, looking for breast and ovarian, and get your skin, don't go out in the sun and get checked, checked for the melanoma. So interesting how all this works. But again, as far as Joe Biden is concerned, the theories are all over the map right now as to whether he got one of those turbo cancers. He's over 80. He would not have had been screened in 7 years if they followed the guidelines. And now he's got it into the bones. And that said, there are actually treatments of metastatic prostate cancer. You can live for many years, even though it's gotten into the bone.
Let me ask you this. They said that the type he has is hormone sensitive. So if they can really squash his testosterone levels, that can be a part of a, maybe not a cure, but to stave this off. And so what role does testosterone play in it? And if people, they're taking supplemental testosterone, could this irritate, aggravate, or create a cancerous scenario?
It's interesting, isn't it? You wonder, testosterone feeds prostate cancer just like estrogen feeds most breast cancers. It is definitely a hormonal cancer more often than not. Matter of fact, one of the medications that people take to increase hair growth, finasteride, is been shown to increase the risk of prostate cancer, increases those PSA numbers, now that's not, again, across the board. I'm not going to frighten everyone to getting off of it. All you need to do is make sure you get your PSA checked. And then this is for the guys out there too. We're talking now. The prostate when they got rid of the PSA screening, by the way, they said do the digital rectal exam every year. The reality, and I'm an old Army doc, and I've done thousands of those exams. The reality was we were missing a lot of cancers because, frankly, a lot of people don't do them. We've had an explosion of women in the workforce who, frankly, I'm not going to diss the women doctors out there, but there's a lot of women doctors who don't know how to do a rectal exam on a male, just like there's a lot of male doctors who haven't learned how to do correct women's health care. So that said, men weren't getting their prostates checked regularly. And so I have to say, if you don't have a good doctor who knows how to do a good rectal exam, and that entails a lot of things, then you do need to get that PSA screened at least once. And as far as testosterone goes, yeah, unfortunately, the treatment for you know, Joe is you know, they're going to give him hormones that suppress testosterone. You know, the treatments can be pretty radical sometimes, but I won't get into the details on it in a morning show.
Well, we really appreciate your time, your opinion, as usual. Dr. John Littell, keep up the great work, and we hope to hear from you again soon.
Yeah, God bless you. Be praying for each other, and thanks for the opportunity. Stay well.
Yeah, absolutely. Bye-bye. Yep.
As for Biden's prognosis, here's more on that from Jeremy Jenkins at Odyssey in Detroit. He talked to Dr. Michael Lutz, the president and CEO of the Michigan Men's Health Foundation.
How common or how rare is that for someone that would be in their 70s or 80s, and what might treatment look like?
Well, the biggest risk factor for developing prostate cancer is age. However, screening guidelines will actually tell us not to be screening men above the age of 69 or 70, and especially if they don't have at least 10 years of survival or greater. So the guidelines are actually misguiding us at this point, and some of the fault lies with the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force recommendations that occurred back in 2012. And as a result of this, many men who are at risk of developing prostate cancer are not being screened appropriately or properly. It needs to be tailored and individualized. And just because a man may be in his 70s doesn't mean that he should be no longer screened for prostate cancer. If they're at risk, if they have a family history of disease, if they're African American, and especially as a man gets older, you should determine if they have an elevated PSA, they should be followed to make sure that for some reason that this disease does not take off at a later stage of life and not get noticed.
Breast screening after the age of 69, you said, how do they normally diagnose at an advanced age like that?
They typically don't, and that's really the problem. If you were to look at the presidential physical examination from 2023, there was no mention of President Biden undergoing a PSA blood test for screening for prostate cancer. And that's basically because the guidelines tell you not to screen a man at 81 years of age for prostate cancer. However, I can tell you that in my personal experience, having taken care of men for over 40 years, I have seen some incredibly aggressive prostate cancers in men in their late 70s and early 80s. So it's important to be aware that if a man has a history of prostate cancer in their family, or if their PSAs are elevated in their mid-70s or late 70s, they should be monitored to see that the PSA is not going up. And now with the advances in all of the liquid biopsy tools that we have available, we can actually say whether this individual with an elevated PSA is at increased risk or decreased risk for prostate cancer, rather than just necessitating a potentially unnecessary biopsy.
And what would treatment look like?
Well, several years ago, a man, if he was diagnosed with bony metastatic prostate cancer, such as President Biden, their survivorship was probably about a 50% survivorship for 5 years. However, over the last 5 to 10 years, the advances in immune therapy and number of the other checkpoint therapies, as well as the advances in hormonal manipulation and some of the advances in oral medications, an individual like this can easily live another 10 years with a great quality of life. And so in all reality, he should not die from this disease. However, a Gleason 9 prostate cancer can be somewhat unpredictable. And if it does not respond well to therapy, then the future could be somewhat bleak. And so a lot of it depends upon how well he responds to hormonal therapy and then subsequently chemotherapy.
Biden's cancer diagnosis is yet another divisive topic between people on the right and left sides of the political aisle here in the U.S. On the left, Democrats are urging pundits and reporters to give the family time and space and essentially lay off them during the former president's treatment. And on the right, they're demanding to know more immediately about when Biden may have had an inkling that he had cancer and how healthy he really was during his time in office. Vice President J.D. Vance told reporters he hopes Biden makes the right recovery. But Vance also added this. We really do need to be honest about whether the former president was capable of doing the job. A former Biden aide told NBC News anonymously that the ex-president would be served by answering some pointed questions, even if it's to ease people's minds about the historical record in regard to his fitness during his time in office. But will Biden actually do that? We're not sure, but we do know this. If he does, we'll let you know what he says. This show is produced by Christy Strauser and by me. I'm Lauren Berry, and I want to say thanks for listening to On Deadline, Odyssey's serving of a top news story just for you. Subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts to stay informed.